Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry.
Just boiling the kettle.
Oh. Yeah, she's boiling the kettle. How is everybody? Hope you're all right. I mean, I assume you're going to say, yeah, we're great, Michael. I'm just listening.
Are you doing a John?
What's that?
You know, dinner with John?
Yeah, yeah.
When he goes,
how's your day? How's your day
oh,
today?
Good. Really pleased about that.
Oh, that's lovely.
We should do that.
Yeah. I'm assuming you're all happy and you're all having a good time. Davina's making a cup of tea. I don't want a cup of tea. I don't drink tea that much these days.
No, I like two or three coffees in the morning. Tea. I'm like, what?
I think I'm becoming more and more lactose intolerant. I've been drinking protein shakes for the last 3 days, and I've got like raging indigestion and heartburn, and I can only assume it's to do with all the kind of milky, lactosey, proteiny stuff.
But is it not to do with stress?
I don't really know. I'm not hugely stressed, I don't think.
But you've had a big meeting this morning.
I had a board meeting this morning with my lead investor.
That's stressful, isn't it?
It's quite stressful, yeah.
Like, and you're the kind of person, sorry if you can't hear me, but you're the kind of person who would be stressed but not show it.
Yes, I think so. I probably bottle a lot of the stress and anxiety up.
Your body?
Yeah.
Your body will be feeling it, but you won't realise it.
I had a kind of long-term headache for a while, then I went to see a neurologist and got a brain scan and all that. And he said, yeah, so you're suffering with a stress headache. And he said, I'm going to give you antidepressants. And he said, it's not that you're depressed. I'm not treating depression. I'm treating the pain. But the pain is a result of you harboring stress. You just don't realize it. And he said, what it will do is release you from that stress and the headache will go.
But sadly, I'm still here.
Anyway, it worked.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
It did. It really snapped me out of it. I only did it for a week because I couldn't cope with these pills. They absolutely just sent me to oblivion.
Yeah, it zonked you out, didn't it?
But he said, well, it might have just been enough to snap your brain out from containing all the stress and putting it in the back of your neck.
I'm in the room.
I think I do, hold the stress inside.
But yeah.
I like the Alan Partridge, stress technique, which is to bottle it up. Keep it all inside.
Yeah, it's a really good strategy, that.
And then once a month you go to a forest or something and let it all out in one big scream,
I wonder where you go.
Wonder where I go?
I wondered where you know.
I pop down the forest around the back
Tunbridge
of our
Wells,
house and have a good old scream, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're all right. She's back in
I'm back in the room.
In the hot seat, yeah.
I'm going to talk first.
What tea have you made yourself there?
Just so Yorkshire.
She loves Yorkshire tea.
Yorkshire tea, really strong and milky. And interestingly, people, I do drink a low cholesterol milk. There are several on the market. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they work, but...
You drink it anyway.
I drink it anyway.
Yeah, good. It's a bit offensive, considering I'm from Lancashire, that she insists on drinking this Yorkshire tea stuff. But there isn't a Lancashire alternative.
No.
So on this occasion, I'll let her off.
Imagine if they came out with Lancashire tea.
Mm.
That would just really set the war off.
Fuck, it'd be great.
All over again.
I might do
it. I mean, all over again. It's never stopped, has it?
So, yes, I was a bit stressed this morning. I have had a board meeting. It went really well. Everything's cushy.
Everything's okay.
And we're still in business.
Okay, phew.
Yeah, it's phew, isn't it?
Because I've seen something that's coming next year. You sent me a picture of it.
Oh, with one of my new devices.
I am so... I think potentially this device coming out next year is the one that I am most excited about.
Yes, I think
are you allowed to say?
No, I don't think so. We'll keep it a secret. But there's the three of them there.
Nice, aren't they? I want one in every colour.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they look good, the colours. Why has nobody done? I love your colours.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it?
Oh my God, they look so good.
You'll have to wait, folks, but they'll be out in January, February next
year.
Oh
my God. Okay.
So yeah, everything all right with you? You've been for meetings as well today?
Amazing meetings. I had a fantastic meeting with my agent.
It was good, was it?
It was so good.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'm really glad. Yeah. And well done to anyone else who's had a good meeting in the last few days, like us. I hope everything's cushy on that front.
So I'm starting off with a brand that gave me something.
Mm.
And interestingly, they gave me a pair of loafers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I love loafers. God, like, I'm obsessed.
Okay. You just triggered a memory that I'm going to talk about shoes as well. Go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm like about loafers. I've got an unhealthy number of loafers. I think it harps back to when I was young. My mum always wore loafers, loafers and flares. And there's something really reassuring for me about loafers. I like loafers and socks. I like loafers and tights. I like loafers and little white ankle socks with a dress. Really, they are very versatile shoes. But I particularly like, I'm not a huge fan of flat shoes. I love loafers with a heel. Anyway.
Yes, those Heely loafers, yes.
So Soul Bliss gave me a pair of these loafers. They are black. They've got a chain kind of bit at the front. I'll send you a photograph of them on the Instas. But I just thought they were a brand called Soul Bliss, and that was just their name. But there is a lot more to them. So they are basically, they are like therapy shoes. They are for people, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, Michael, but I have got quite wide feet.
Yes, you have got quite wide feet,
and
haven't you? Yeah.
Pointy shoes are quite difficult.
A very interesting piece of evolutionary biology around you, where you've come straight out of the sea. You know, you were once swimming and then poosh.
That is me.
You were straight out there, yeah.
So they have technology in their shoes that... They've got the deep and wide toe box. They've got three layers of memory foam in the shoe. They have the bunion bed stretch panel for those painful bunion-y bits. And they've got superior arch support. Now, listen, normally when we're talking about all these things...
I love arch support.
Yeah, but normally when you're talking about all of these things for a woman, you get absolutely rubbish shoes. They just look orthopedic, you know. And these are trainers. They've got trainers. They've got, like, platform shoes.
Yeah.
They've got velvet. They've got boots. They've got little Mary Janes. They've got... Smart. I mean, there's really kind of fun shoes and cool shoes and little loafers and ballerinas. Shoes that maybe, if you've got any of these kind of issues, you might think, oh, I can't wear shoes like that. You can, from Soul Bliss. Now, look, the prices... are ranging sort of between 120 to 199, so quite expensive, but a game changer if you have wide feet, any kind of bunion, any kind of like aches and pains around your feet, get a pair of these. They are epic. And I've just got to remind you that they did gift me a pair of shoes, but I'm not... People gift us stuff all the time.
Yeah, we'd only talk about stuff we like.
I really believe in these shoes. Yeah, yeah. They are unbelievably comfortable. I've worn them all day. I've just walked all over the place. Although yesterday I did wear them without socks and I got a little blister on the back of my... But that's only because I was walking for miles and I had sweaty
socks.
Feet.
Yeah. Should have put that in my reel. She is hobbling down the street.
The minute I put socks on, amazing.
Yeah.
So comfy. So they are Soul Bliss, S-O-L-E, Bliss. .com.
Can I say what a great name that is?
Yeah.
As well.
Because it does exactly what it says.
I love, I'm not sure what the right word is for it, but when the word means two different things, soul and soul, it's spelled different. But there's a there's a name for that, isn't there? Is it homonym?
Yes.
Homonym?
It begins with an H, but it's not a...
Homonym.
Homonym?
Homonym. if anyone teaches English out there... Yeah. So like... there's read and read, isn't there? Which is both spelled the same. Is that a homonym? Well, she's looking up this. So you can see neither of us went to university. Not even sure we got an O level between us.
A homily is a short sermon.
Oh, okay, it's not that. While you're looking that up, I was also gifted a pair of shoes quite a while ago, and I've been meaning to talk about them for ages, but we had the summer holidays and all the rest of it. But We talked, I talked specifically about Mod Shoes, which is this brilliant website for largely shoes, but you also do shirts and t-shirts and stuff like that. If you're interested or part of that kind of whole mod culture thing, I've been a mod my whole life, really, I think, in one way, shape or form. And you might go, well, what's a mod? So you can go and Google that. But it was a kind of cultural movement that took place in the 60s. And then there was a second wave of kind of mod culture that took part in the kind of late 70s. It was largely driven by Paul Weller and the Jam. And then Oasis kind of resurrected it again in the 90s. So it's something that's kind of lingered around. But you had very kind of specific haircuts, clothes, shoes, shirts and things like that. And there were some kind of rules around being in part of mod culture. You know, it was always single-breasted, three-button suits,
yes.
Tonic normally, so they had a little kind of sparkle to these suits. Gucci loafers and stuff like that, penny loafers were a big part of it, stay-pressed trousers, but things tailored really neatly and sharply. And there was a kind of code. I mean, I could spot a mod a mile away. They don't have to have a haircut or anything, but I absolutely know what one is. So it's quite, it can be quite subtle. But anyway, Mod Shoes, which is modshoes.co.uk, have a whole website really dedicated to the types of clothes that people who love that whole mod scene is in. Anyway, they rang us up and said, we'd love to gift you a pair of shoes. So I had a quick look through, and they have these, what they call Shelby version 2 cognac brogue boots.
Oh, they're great.
They're so nice, weren't they?
So yeah, good.
So it does say here they're Peaky Blinders inspired. So it's got a real sense of that whole Peaky Blinders
is it Selby?
Attitude. Is it the
Selby, not Shelby?
Is that SH?
No, it says Shelby.
Shelby, yeah. Yep. Oh, I was right. Yep. Anyway, they've got these in all different colours, have they? Who? I'm generally right. Yeah. I'm not sure about that. Anyway, they've got them in lovely colours. I love these kind of yellowy colours.
Yeah, they're
ones
very nice.
Here. These are super nice. V2 tan. They've got them in oxblood, cognac and black. But they've got loads of stuff on here. Loads of penny loafers, monkey boots, monkey shoes.
Monkey boots.
They've got the old Clarks. They're called the Ashcroft because Richard Ashcroft used to wear them from the Verve. Anyway, there's loads of good stuff in there. I just want to say a massive thank you to Mod Shoes for sending me those boots. And I'll stick a picture on the Instagrams this week so people can see them. But it's modshoes.co.uk. If you're at all interested in that whole scene or that whole vibe, they've got so many really nice bits of clobber on there. T-shirts and shirts all inspired by the Beatles and the Who and the Jam and stuff like that. Anyway, fill your boots.
I've got three books I want to talk about tonight. So the first one I'm going to tell you about, I'll do quite quickly.
Yep.
You remember Samantha Evans who came round to the house and she did a talk with me about sex after being plunged into...
Sam Talk Sex?
Yes.
Of course. We follow each other on Instagram.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So her daughter, Millie Evans, spelt M-I-L-L-Y, Millie Evans... she has written a book, obviously with her parents being who they are, which is called Honest, Everything They Don't Tell You About Sex, Relationships and Bodies. And it is a book for teenagers, because being a teen is tough enough, right? Without having to kind of get through the minefield of puberty and like everything. And it is sometimes a very complicated conversation, either to have with your children or to have with your parents. Or it might be something where you might want to get your kids a book which might kickstart a conversation in the car. You know, those are the kind of conversations where you're not looking at each other. I know you've spoken about this before.
Yeah.
It's much easier when you're not face-to-face and looking straight in their face to have, like, a weird, difficult conversation about something.
Well, even if there's a book, like, my dad was a member of the Reader's Digest when I was growing up. And, you know, I'd go to his house at the weekends, but he had this book on the shelf that was like the Reader's Digest book of the human anatomy or something like that. And I got that down. It was all these pictures of penises in it and then drawings of penises and all the different types of penis things that you can get, but also how to look after it and clean it and stuff like that. And that is where I learned how to look after my cock, basically, is in this book. If that book hadn't existed, I'm not entirely sure
what you'd have done.
How I would have learned.
How would you know how to clean it? You know what I mean?
Yes, there was all sorts of kind of issues around...
And this is stuff we assume our kids know, but why do we assume that?
Nobody talked to me about it. And I lived with my mum most of the time, so she didn't talk to me about it. But the fact that there is information out there, I mean, the internet's been a wonderful thing, I guess, regards to that.
But also, you know, let's think about that. You know, the internet is also a very dangerous place for young kids. If they type in, how do I clean my cock, into Google, you know, like it's going to be a fucking disaster. No, but I'm serious.
Yes,
you don't want kids to be trying to look this stuff on the internet. You like a book is really helpful. There's great drawings in there.
Yeah, good.
Millie's just got this amazing approach to... talking about sex, which is a very kind of big sister, pragmatic kind of, you know, just a brilliant... And it's kind of more than you would get at school. It talks about orgasms to anatomy, gender identity, masturbation, positive relationships to first times. It's all here, candid detail. There's an audio book, there's a paperback. I would absolutely recommend that you get the book of it. Because you want to see the drawings, you want to be able to, it's a reference book. You want to be able to pick it up and put it down. So it's available on Amazon. The paperback is £7.35. It will be the best £7.35 you'll spend for your teenager or any, like if you've got a godchild, I would say even sort of 12 years old before teenager, By 12, most girls and boys are beginning to hit puberty and everything is changing. They're already in secondary school. It's a big, you know, you are growing up at a massively accelerated pace. And I just think it's a really, really good book to have in every kid's bedroom that, you know, you don't read with them. let them read on their own.
It does feel like kids are being fired out of a cannon, basically, don't they, around about the age of 11 or 12.
Oh, my God. Bye.
As soon as they've got access to a smartphone, it's like being sent into the centre of the universe.
And that's what happens. They get access to a smartphone and off they go. God.
All the information in the world comes through it.
So that's Sam Evans' daughter. It's Millie Evans. And on Instagram, I wanted to quickly say, on Instagram, she's called It's Millie Evans. So if you want to suggest that your teen follows It's Millie Evans, she is absolutely brilliant. And she go and have a look at her page and see what you think.
But okay.
She's oh, my God, and I forgot to tell you. So she grew up watching Sex Education on telly.
Yeah, on telly,
thought it was absolutely brilliant. They featured her book on this series in episode 7.
Yeah, fantastic.
So she was so made up. She said, I can't believe it. My mum and dad are sex educators. I loved sex education. And now here I am. I'm a sex educator and my book is on sex education.
Oh, how great. That's brilliant.
Oh, I just said fucking great. Sorry.
Well, this week, Andy recommended that I listen to a Desert Island Discs of Ade Edmondson. Now, I've been
Interesting.
Yeah. I've been a fan of kind of Ade Edmondson, Rick Mayall and all that stuff throughout my life, really, from probably the Young Ones. And before that, they were the Dangerous Brothers. And then they went on to do Filthy Rich and Cat Flap. I loved Filthy Rich and Cat Flap. And I know it was all kind of a bit puerile and a bit childish, and I did kind of eventually grow out of it, I suppose. But I always had this very warm spot, I guess, for Rick and Ade and the way that they worked together and the friendship that they had and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, Andy said, he did his Desert Island Discs. Anyway, I cannot find it anywhere, so I'm going to go back and look at that, and maybe I'll recommend that once I've had a listen to it. But he did say there was a very touching moment where he talks, you know, about Rick and then the ending of their kind of professional life together, really. And I thought, I really want to listen to that because, you know, they were glued together, those boys, a bit like French and Saunders.
Imagine if you lost Andy. Like, it's not even worth thinking about. But if I lost Soz, like, I just...
But before Rick died, there was a separating of them professionally that I think Rick wanted, and I'm not sure Ade did. But they decided they wanted to, I guess, do their own thing. And how painful that was, considering now what ended up happening to Rick, you know. Yeah. Anyway, I'd love to listen to that. So if anyone can find it for me, then let me know. Maybe it wasn't a Desert Island Discs, you know, and he goes, it was this. But I've looked through them all. Anyway, subsequently, while looking through them all, because I was going to the gym, I stumbled across Simon Pegg's Desert Island Discs. And I thought, well, I love Simon Pegg. I'll have a listen to that.
I love him.
The thing about Simon Pegg, he feels like he's just like me.
Us,
you know.
Yes,
yeah,
he is.
Like, he's a regular guy, went to a regular school, had a regular upbringing.
Yeah.
He's ended up being in the Mission Impossible films.
Yeah, but and he even feels like that in the Mission Impossible films.
Yes,
his character is like, how did I end up here?
Yes, exactly. Anyway, I had a listen to his Desert Island Discs, and I'd like to highly recommend it to anybody who's, you know, kind of got half an hour free, or, you know, doing a bit of pottering about or wandering around or anything like that. I really, really enjoyed it. Lon Laverne did a great job of interviewing him, but he's such an open, lovely human being, I got the feeling. We met him and his wife once at a party.
Absolutely,
and it was
brilliant.
Just so nice. I actually said to him, because he was dressed, we went to a fancy dress party, and he was dressed as Jack Nicholson in The Shining, and I said to him, "Oh, have you ever seen Ready Player One? Because they recreate some of The Shining in Ready Player One." And he went, "Yeah, I'm in it." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, so you are, yeah." Fuck. I felt like such a dick. Anyway, I pulled it back by saying, "Oh, you were so good in it, I didn't even know it was you."
Oh, well done.
He kind of smiled at that, but I'm not sure I won him over. Anyway, he told some...
That reminds me of the time you tried to tell Calvin Harris...
Yeah, that he needs to remix the track. Yeah. You know what you want to do, Calvin Harris? You want to take this song and make it better? He's like, "Oh, do I?" I was like, "Oop," slightly overstepped the mark there.
He was actually really sweet about it, wasn't he?
He was
so nice. Yeah, great idea.
Not a bad idea, that, yeah. Anyway, I'm that guy. So it was. He just had such great stories about him. But there's this wonderful story that he talks about his mum and dad in a very fond way. But they split up when he was quite young, and then he got a stepdad that he was kind of close with. But he gives the impression that it was quite a tricky time. You know, one, trying to learn how to be a stepson, and two, how this guy, you know, was very young and had to look after a young boy for the first time in his life as well. But there's this great moment where Simon Pegg says, "You know, my stepdad worked in Debenhams and the fair was in town, and we had enough money to either go to the fair or go and see Raiders of the Lost Ark." And he said, "I knew my stepdad really wanted to see Raiders of the Lost Ark, so that's what I suggested we do as a kind
of..." But even though he wanted to go to the fair,
really, I think. Yeah, that was the point he's making. But he said, you know, it changed his life that day, going sitting in the cinema and realised that that's what he wanted to be.
An action.
And then years later, Steven Spielberg, who directed Raiders of the Lost Ark, obviously booked Simon Pegg to be in Tintin. And he had to go onto the set of, I think, Raiders of the Lost Ark 4 to meet Steven Spielberg.
So,
you know,
mad. Wow.
And he rang his stepdad, who was no longer even married to his mum. They split up when he was 14. So you can see just how much time has passed, but he'd stayed in touch with him and all the rest of it. And he rang him and said, "Hey, you know, you never guess what." But I guess it's this idea that the reason... We went to Raiders of the Lost Ark that day, and then here I am, you know, years later. Yeah. You know, it's the butterfly effect, really, isn't it? Which just goes poof. And I just was beaming trying to lift weights in the gym, you know, just hearing him talk about this period in his life. But some great stories about him and Tom Cruise, and then just the kind of, I guess, life he's had.
Yeah.
But also a kind of struggle with depression that he talks about a bit, and how he used alcohol to kind of manage that. So if anybody's, I guess, going through a difficult time, I just thought there was a very nice bit in it about how he kind of slightly fell by the wayside there and then managed to piece himself back together. But it was one of my favourites that I've listened to in a long time. So Desert Island Discs, only about 3 or 4 weeks old, I think. So it's in the latest series. You can go to Apple Podcasts and all the rest of it and find it. But it's the Simon Pegg episode. And I would highly recommend it.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
He is so nice, isn't he? Step-parenting is like so complicated. But I've just, as you know, reconnected with my stepdad.
Yeah.
And it's been so nice. I'm having such a nice time.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So I want to talk about Donna Ashworth. We've talked about her before.
Yes.
Donna Ashworth has done these lovely books of words, and she did books called Lost, Love, Life, books on loss, like things, what maybe you, sort of things that you might want to speak of at a funeral or something like that, or words of love or words of affirmation. She's just got a wonderful way to her, but I put a piece of paper in there because I thought you might like to read this one. It's not, I don't think it's going to make you cry, but I just really liked it. And she's written a new book, and it's called, I love it, I love the title, it's called Wild Hope.
Am I reading this or this?
No, you're reading this.
This from the book. So.
It's called Wild Hope, Healing Words to Find Light on Dark Days.
Just going to get some glasses.
Here, oh yeah, put those on.
They're getting worse by the second. Can you get laser surgery for
Yes, you can.
For reading
and you would be able to. I can't because I've got a stigmatism.
You've got a wonky eye.
I've got a wonky eye.
It's called Heart Outside. Jesus Christ, what are you going to do to me? Being a parent is like wearing your heart outside of your body. Then after years spent nurturing, growing, protecting, keeping alive, letting that heart wander off on its own into the world. We know... We know can do such harm to it, and all we can hope for is that our heart calls home, updates us sometimes with their stories, their safety, their happiness, their troubles. We can only wish that we will be able to help mend the heart when needed. A job we have long trained in. Being a parent is like wearing your heart outside of your body and knowing that's exactly where it's supposed to be. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, it's good.
It's such a truism, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like letting that heart wander off on its own into a world we know can do it such harm. Like letting them go.
Oh, knowing the risks.
Knowing the risks, but you still have to let them go.
Yeah, yeah.
Hoping
that
they'll get in touch.
Yeah.
She's, I mean, this is a really good one. It's called How to Help. When bad things are happening, it's common to feel helpless. There's so much wrong and so little to be done. But remember, everything exists in energy. Your intentions matter. Set kindness as your focus. In your little corner of the world, it makes ripples, you see. Ripples are contagious. They form into waves, and consistent, determined little waves can move mountains given time. Your kindness, your care, your hope has weight. Send it out. Send it out. Each time you wish a stranger safe, I believe the universe hears. I love the way she talks.
Yeah.
I love everything about this woman. She's got lovely, so inspiring, so heartfelt. The way Donna writes is beyond beautiful from Lisa Snowden on the back. I absolutely, I've given her a little... thing for the front, because I Donna Ashworth is a force for good. An amazing gift for Christmas, maybe. Maybe something for a stocking. It's a very, very beautiful, positive book. I think we all have dark days, and sometimes you just need to read something that might help lift you out. So thank you, Donna.
You can't have bright days without dark days.
No,
you
know? Exactly.
Yeah, and
exactly.
It's always worth remembering that.
Yeah.
There's two or three things that reminded me of. First of all, is that Rumi poem about...
Oh, yes.
This life is a guest house.
Yes.
And every day a new arrival.
Didn't you give that to someone?
No, I think I just... I mentioned it, I think, this week. Because it really... I can't remember. We were having a talk about feelings and stuff like that and how, you know, we want happiness, but often it's something else that arrives. But it's this idea that all these things have been sent as a guide, you know, and if you remove anxiety from your life and if you move hardship from your life, you're not being guided properly, you know. So when it comes, it's a good idea to try and kind of let it in, really. But the other thing, that poem has just spurred a song. There's a Paul Weller song called Where Do You Go? And when I listened to this, it reminded me a lot of my brother Jack, because I think when this song came out, he went to Australia and he went traveling around the world and stuff like that. And the opening line is, and where you go, that we'll ever know, but as long as you come back, it's all that really matters. I know. And and then I've often thought about it as my own kids, you know, it's like you send them out there and you think, just come back every so often, you know, just let me know. But there's a couple of great lines in it that says, I'm going to say, so where you go, then come ye back, and each time you do, bring with you such stories that we lose our sadness. because our echoes are forgotten and you never forget. You just lose track of time, but that's all right. It's really all right. But we couldn't bear to be without you. And it's just like,
I think you're like, you're thinking about that in terms of your kids, but it's also worth thinking about our parents.
Yeah, well, I read a little summary about this song, because there's websites you can go on that explain what the lyrics is. And apparently it's a song about himself, is that he often goes, and his family often go like, where have you gone?
Yes.
You know? And he's essentially
exactly
saying,
what,
I will come back, but
yes,
I just got to get my shit together,
yes,
you know. And I don't know if that's true or not, you
yeah
know, but it was apparently a song that he wrote about himself that, you know, he kind of immerses himself in the studio for however long and then comes back with, I guess, stories and words and songs
yeah
and stuff like that. But I just love that idea that you've got to let them go to get them back anyway,
yeah,
even yourself. Anyway, that was great, that Donna Ashworth thing.
Yeah, it's
really
nice,
like,
isn't
spurred
it
a lot of thoughts and feelings, yeah. Anyway, the Paul Weller song's on 22 Dreams and it's called Where Ye Go.
I want to talk about Neget Arif, who mm-hmm I love. You know how much I love her.
Mm.
I mean, I bang on about her a lot. Dr. Neget is she's an expert on This Morning. She does lots of the kind of general GP stuff. She's a GP, but she's also an expert in women's health. She's one of my fellow ambassadors at the Wellbeing of Women. Well worth a mm-hmm follow everywhere. Menopause Mandate. We absolutely love her. She never minds me talking about this, but she's dyslexic.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a superpower, everybody.
Yeah.
I know it doesn't feel like it when you're a teenager, but as an adult, I'm sure if you're dyslexic, you do understand that it is a superpower because you view the world differently. She's dyslexic. I hope that also inspires any dyslexics to know that they can go on and do whatever they want because she's absolutely smashing it
yeah
at life. But this book, The Knowledge, it's your guide to female health from menstruation to the menopause.
Mm.
So it's like from first bleed right all the way through to menopause. But she's got really brilliant, it's incredibly inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Even I just passed a sort of a page of illustrations. It's everybody. Everybody is included. People with disabilities, people of every colour, people. She just takes into account everybody, what you might go through. She talks about contraceptives. And you know how, like, our book, mm-hmm, Menopausing, was kind of colour-coded? So she's done various things. Like, it's very easy to pick up and put down. It's quite similar to that in a way. It's
okay,
like, got lots of kind of colour coding, mm-hmm, and it's got things about period pants. It's got things about free bleeding when you just let yourself bleed. It's got period cups. It's got things about tampons. It's got the changes to your flow, tracking your period. We often think as women that our periods aren't normal because there is no such thing as a normal period. But this is just a brilliant, brilliant book because it covers all of it with very easy to look at
mm-hmm
diagrams and everything, and basically made by a woman who is a brilliant communicator.
Mm.
So if you want something that's easy to digest, follow Dr. Neget on, just follow her as Dr. Neget Arif on Twitter, Dr. Neget Arif on Instagram, and The Knowledge is her book, and it is absolutely brilliant.
I've been listening to a lot more Richard Dawkins things recently. God, it's just been bending my mind.
So blowing.
I think I recommended The Poetry of Reality recently, so I hope people are enjoying that. But I stumbled across we were on a flight yesterday. So,
yes, you were looking at that interview.
Yes.
And you kept laughing.
Yeah, yeah, it was very good. Let me just find the interview. Here it is. It's on a page called Andrew Gold. I don't know who Andrew Gold is, but
is he good?
He was very good.
You were quite impressed with him, weren't you?
Yes. Yeah.
And I think as an interviewer, it's quite hard to be impressive with Richard Dawkins.
Yes, he's terrifying, really.
Yeah.
You know, it says Andrew Gold's page it's got a quarter of a million subscribers, which is
wow
pretty good, 900 videos on there. And it says, for your fix of cults, extreme religions, royals, and pop culture. So it's a real mixture of things. He was a very kind of interesting interview, a bit awkward, I thought, but in a kind of a good way. So He wasn't trying to be entertaining or anything.
And he wasn't trying to impress anybody with his interviewing technique. He was just trying to get the best out of Richard Dawson.
Which he got, it sounded like. Yeah, yeah, it was hugely entertaining. But so it's Andrew Gold, and it says, Richard Dawkins, I mean, he's done this thing where it says, Richard Dawkins exposes Piers Morgan and defends J.K. Rowling.
Ignore all that stuff.
It's absolutely rubbish. I mean, he does say that he thinks Piers Morgan is a fool, which I thought was very funny. But there's just a brilliant bit in it where he goes on to kind of just dive into the idea that we were all our genes and all our genetics were once everything else, really. So, you know, we actually descend from a worm or a snail and a shrew and a little kind of mouse thing. And then, you know, obviously it goes up to monkeys and apes and all the rest of it. And at some point there was an ape that had two children, and one of them was the original, that went on to be the original human, and the other went on to be, you know, a black African ape or whatever it was, you know. But there was clearly an animal that had two things, and one of them became one thing, and one of them eventually became another thing. Mm. And it's really hard to get your head around, because you think, oh, so what, she gave birth to a human and an ape, and it's like, the differences are so minuscule, but they're part of an evolutionary thing that then over another, I don't know, thousands and thousands of years that then start to evolve into all sorts of different things. But I'm always amazed when you look at the complexities of, let's say, women's bits and pieces, periods and ovaries and eggs and all that kind of stuff, just where that's all evolved out of.
All female animals have the same kind of anatomy.
Yeah.
Lots of them give birth, the mammals give birth vaginally. Lots of them, you know, it's all kind of quite similar. But what I think is so fascinating is that up until very recently, they viewed men's and women's bodies exactly the same, that we were just little men.
Mm. Well, I always assumed that the word woman is born out of men, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
The word men is in it. There was a comedian the other day talking about this and said, even in lady, there's the word lad. It's quite good, isn't it? Anyway, it really just melts really my mind, the idea that we all started off as a tiny little mollusky sea thing, and then at some point we ventured out of the sea and then became all these different things. And who knows whether we're still on that evolutionary journey? We'll never know. But one thing he does say, you know, is, it, wouldn't it be great to be around in 1,000 years' time? You know,
just to see, God, wouldn't
what
it?
The hell is going on, you know? And you don't spend enough time thinking about that, because it's probably too complex. But it's a very enjoyable exploration of your mind to try to imagine what things might look like in 500 years' time, what we might be like. But one of the things they do talk about is AI, and say essentially AI is still kind of Darwinistic in its evolution, because it is evolved out of our evolution, then it'll evolve into AI, and then it'll evolve into something else and something else. And
I like what he said about aliens.
Oh, yeah, yes. I mean, he said quite a few things about aliens, because everyone says, is there life on other planets? And he says he absolutely thinks there has to be life on other planets, and it would be Darwin-like life, evolutionary life, and it's evolving. You can't think of any other way around.
It might be at different phases to us or wherever.
But one of the interesting things is, is there life here? Have aliens visited us? Will they visit us? You know, and he thinks it's pretty ludicrous, the idea that there is more planets out there than there are grains of sand on Earth, and the idea that they would find us in that enormous amount of planets.
It's like Horton Hears a Who.
Yeah, so it's just, he said it's just ludicrous, the fact that nobody could find us, and the idea that they could find us would just
be unbelievable. And also, how long it takes to travel to find us.
It'd be impossible for any biological material to travel to us from anywhere else. And he said if we were to be contacted by aliens, it would happen by radio wave, you know, because they can travel at the speed of light in all directions. So we've pumped radio waves out there into the universe, and it may well be that they've been received somewhere, but it's going to take another 50 years for us to get a response or a reply. But anyway, I just really love kind of exiting my own life for a while and then going into this kind of amazing world of science and physics and biology and trying to get a handle on it. And he's such a brilliant mind, this guy. So Richard Dawkins Exposes Piers Morgan is the title, but it's on the Andrew Gold page on YouTube. And if you missed our previous episode, it's called The Poetry of Reality, and it's a podcast with Richard Dawkins, which I'm really enjoying as well.
Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. So I got sent something by Hugo from Made in Chelsea, who I love, Hugo and Millie, are married. And he sent me a laser called the Lima Laser. It's a brand called Lima, L-Y-M-A. And it's basically to get rid of kind of blemishes, you know, age spots, a sort of knee sagging skin.
Oh, so it's a laser that you put on your skin?
Yes. Okay, so no downtime.
Okay.
Pain-free, non-abrasive, safe around eyes, two-hour battery with a single charge. It's very simple. Look how nice it is. You just hold it. You put the laser on your skin. It's very easy to use, suitable for all skin tones and colours.
What does it do?
Look, before and after scarring.
Jesus.
It just... Basically, you know when you go to the dermatologist and they do laser treatments on your...
I don't know what it's like to go to a dermatologist.
No, but you would go to a dermatologist to sort out blemishes, scars, acne scars, things like that. This seems like... I mean, I've looked at their website and they have a lot of very good science behind the product. It's the world's first. It's clinic-grade, FDA-cleared laser device for at-home use. Only device available to reach base layers of your skin. It's 100 times more powerful than LED devices, which is kind of what most people use. I have to say, it is expensive. So... in order to buy the actual laser, it's £1,999. So basically what you might want to do is wait a little bit longer, find out if the price can go down at all, but also find out if you need more reviews, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to start using it and see if it works.
Are you getting one?
Yeah. I've got one.
Have you?
Yeah, it's right there.
Because I've got this wrinkle on my face that's appeared since I had COVID.
Well, we should try and get rid of that.
Yeah, I hate it. Yeah.
Can I tell you, I love it.
Oh,
I love your face.
Like it. Yeah, but
I love all your wrinkles.
It's a definite aging thing. Yeah.
But you could get it. They do monthly payments.
Okay.
But even that, it's £100 a month. So I'm talking about it, knowing that it's going to be out of most of our listeners' price range.
Be nice to know if it works, though. I think that's the thing.
But I feel like this more of this technology is coming. They do supplements, also expensive.
Yeah.
But there's so much science coming in terms of anti-aging supplements.
Yeah.
Things, Jolt.
Biohacking. We've never talked about Jolt.
We haven't talked about Jolt. I feel bad because we haven't tried it.
We haven't tried it yet.
But what's interesting about Jolt is that Russell Kane and his wife Lindsay have started this business, biohacking. And basically Russell has researched this for 10 years or so, like a decade, where he's biohacked and taken 1,000 different, what do they call them?
Yeah, I'm not thinking.
It's not vitamins.
It's not supplements as such.
It's
but they're
sort
all...
of like a supplement.
Yeah.
So he then said, why don't we make one that's kind of, not instead of taking 30 pills, let's take one big one a day.
Yeah.
And if you go and look up on Jolt on Instagram.
Yeah, there's lots of information. He's done lots of lives
lots
with
of
experts
information
and stuff
on
like
there.
That. Yeah.
But he has done so much research into it himself, but you wouldn't believe how old he is.
I think he's 48 or 49.
He's 48 years old. He looks so young. His skin, his hair, everything. Like, he is the best walking advert for his product ever. Anyway, that's also worth looking into.
Yeah.
But it's a new dawn, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Biohacking is a new thing. So I'm going to try this Lima laser and I shall report back.
Okay. Last one for me is that...
And last one for us, and then I think we should go on to...
Oh, yeah. Shout-outs. I went to the cinema this week.
Yes.
I was free on my own and I had a quick look at what was on the cinema near me. And they had on Stop Making Sense, which is this Talking Heads concert movie. Now, I'd heard about this in the past and we have a good friend called Renshaw who's obsessed with this live album. And every time I go around to his house, he's always playing it. And I always think, you don't feel like a Talking Heads kind of fan, you know, Renshaw doesn't. But he loves them. And then so I had to listen to the live album and I was like, bloody hell, this is good. Anyway, my son told me that it's also a concert. A lot of people claiming it's the greatest concert movie ever filmed. It came out in 1984. 1984? Yeah, 1984, when they were pretty much at their peak. It says here, considered by critics as the greatest concert film of all time, the live performance was shot over the course of three nights at the Hollywood Theatre in December of 1983 and features Talking Heads' most memorable songs. So it opens with Psycho Killer, just on him on the acoustic guitar. Now, I'm not a massive fan of Talking Heads.
He is a renegade.
Oh, he was fucking brilliant.
Totally original.
Film absolutely not me for six.
Absolute.
I loved every minute.
The French absolutely adopted.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Talking Heads.
I mean,
like, in a
he's
massive
Canadian,
way.
I think, but he has a very European sensibility about him. I think, especially that voice he's got feels foreign, I guess, in a way. You know. Anyway, I thought my son had said, "Oh, yeah, it's meant to be brilliant." He wanted to go and see it, and I wanted to go and see it with him, but we couldn't. But I thought, well, I'll just go on my own.
Just to say, he doesn't just go off and, you know, I'll obviously be with him if I was around.
Anyway, if you love music, which I know lots of people do, and you're looking for something to do, then if it's on at your local cinema or somewhere close by, absolutely go and watch it. It's only 88 minutes long, so even if you don't like it, it's not on for that long. And I would say I only really knew maybe four songs out of, let's say, 17 or 18 that was played. But it starts off with him and a guitar, and then he brings out the bass guitarist, and then the drummer comes out. But as they come out, their instruments come out with them. So he starts on a completely empty stage of just him and the guitar, and then slowly the whole thing starts to come together. So by the sixth or seventh song, everybody and their instruments is on stage and the whole stage is set. But bloody hell, there's a keyboard player and a percussionist that will fry your brain, you know.
Wow.
And the sounds are brilliant. But there's their very, very famous song that I always want to call Home, but it's that one where he goes, "Oh, where I want to be, but I guess I'm already there."
Yes.
Oh my God. And the girl who normally is playing bass is on guitar, and her whole job really for the whole song is just to play these three notes over and over again. And I'm like, keep looking at her thinking, there's no
way. It's actually harder to do that, I think, than do something really complicated.
Oh,
there's nowhere to hide.
You can't drop out. And nowhere to hide. It's such an important bit of the song that you can't escape from it. So this must be the place. So this is it. I'm gonna play a bit of it. This is live, by the way. You'll hear it. Wait for it. That's it.
Keyboard.
That's a guitar.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
And that's it. She does not stop doing that the whole time.
Yeah.
But wait till he sings. Let me just put you a bit of it. There's so much going on. It's just a joy to watch as well.
Look at the lighting. Such a great singer.
I was like, fuck me. I was just blown away by how good it was in this cinema. And the sound and the view and everything. I was like, wow. I haven't stopped listening. I've listened to it every day since it came out.
It's so good.
So it's called Stop Making Sense. It gets 8.7 on IMDb. It's 88 minutes long. And I think it's a 15 or maybe a 12 or something like that. But musically, it's untouchable. I just absolutely loved it.
That's a very good recommendation. A little bit jealous I didn't go. So, first of all, I'm going to read a recommendation from Claire Coles. And she says, "Hey again, have you seen the Instagram account Adam Richardson?" And that's Adam with two A's. Adam Richardson. He's a physio coach. He's got a unique way of helping you stretch and look after your body. He's cheeky and fun. He's got 219,000 followers. I've just had a quick look. Mm-hmm. He looks absolutely fantastic. If you've got any issues with mobility or you struggle with certain movements, he is going to have the fix for it. Go and follow Adam Richardson, two A's on the Adam. He is absolutely brilliant. Claire, thank you very much for that.
One here from, this is from Gary Brown. "Hi guys, can I recommend a new book?" I always like it when we get a shout out from a guy. Gary.
Yes,
you're
Gary,
very welcome.
Yeah.
It's an autobiography from a Glasgow musician journalist called Billy Sloan. Billy is the Scottish John Peel and has been in the business for 40 years and has met and interviewed everybody who's anybody. The book is called One Love, One Life, and it's packed full of great stories. Thanks, guys. Gary Brown. One Love, One Life could be U2's one, because that is in there. But I also think Bob Marley said One Love and One Life as well.
One heart.
He says, let's get together and feel one love, one life. Yeah, it might be from U2's one. And thanks, Gary Brown. That sounds brilliant. I have heard of Billy Sloan throughout the years, so I would love to have a little look at that. Thank you very much indeed. Great.
This is one from Sandy. Sandy says, so glad you're back. Me again. Thought this was so cool. Had to share. And this is, it appears, hang on, I'm going to show you.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Yeah, okay.
It's called competitive sleeping, and you won't believe how much the winner gets. The competition is held in Spain every year, and contestants are required to fall asleep as quickly as possible. Contestants are judged based on their ability to sleep as close to 20 minutes as possible. And they're also judged on their sleeping posture and snoring. The only downside is that it's held in a shopping mall, so it's not that easy to fall asleep. However, if you manage to win, you'll get $1,500. This sport is called competitive sleeping.
Wow.
Competitive sleeping.
Wow.
Do you know who'd win that?
Who?
Me.
Yeah, you're fucking good at that.
I could absolutely fall asleep.
This episode.
I could totally do it, even in a shopping mall.
But it's as close to 20 minutes as possible.
That is where I would fall down, because I'd be gone for an hour and a half.
2 hours, yeah. I have a 16-minute nap from time to time. I have a 16-minute alarm.
Why 16?
Well, it was just what was on my countdown one day, and I thought, oh, I'm so tired. And I thought, well, it's on 16
kept
minutes.
It at 16.
And I've kept it at 16 minutes because I've managed to fall asleep very quickly. Then I woke up, and then I felt amazing for the rest of the
really?
Day. And I thought, okay, maybe 16 minutes is my thing, you know.
Well, they do say you must not sleep for more than 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Or in between 25 minutes and an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Do not do that. An hour and a half to 25 minutes is very bad, because then you are in very deep sleep and it's really bad for your circadian rhythm to wake up. But less than 25 minutes or more than an hour and a half, yes.
I love they. They are always telling us what to do, aren't they?
They always tell us what to do, but they do know more than us.
They claim to.
Yeah, they do.
But they tell us that they don't know that much as well, so it drives me mad all day.
Oh, I'm going mad.
This is from Amk70. It says, hi, both. Just listened to another Fabs episode. Series 11, episode 3. Just found Michael's DIY joy. Just amazing. I randomly tell my husband, Andy Cairns, about some of the things. I know Andy Cairns.
Do you? Did you go to school with him? Balshaws.
No, but I feel like we both know him, maybe. Anyway, about some of the things you discuss whilst updating him on Michael's garage cleaning. Added... how he would love a ride on a lawnmower. Yeah, well, I've still got it at the moment. Andy said, message him and tell him to contact me. He is the owner and has the largest collection of ride-on lawnmowers in the UK. Therefore, he would love to work with you on this. He's Redband UK. So it's redbanduk.co.uk. He loves to explore new avenues for his business. P.S. I love you. I love you. Sorry.
Oi!
I love both slow and straight. Kind regards to you, Anna Cairns. I'm going to get in touch, because I'm not quite entirely sure what you're telling me there, but does he want to help me sell my ride-on lawnmower? Perhaps that is it. I will be in touch. Thanks very much indeed for that. I'm slightly heartbroken that I'm selling that lawnmower, but it does have to go.
Okay, so that's it for today.
Yeah.
We would just like to say thank you very much for listening.
Yeah.
And we're going to get some food.
Yeah, let's eat. All right. Have a lovely weekend or a week, whenever it is you're listening to this.
Bye. Bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.